going to read the Christmas story, and then we're going to think about what that means for us. And Andy, who's one of our newest members, is going to come and read Matthew 2, verse 1 to 12. Thank you, Andy.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they have heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Andy. Now, we're nearly at the end of the year, nearly at the end of 2022. And 2022 has been a big year. Lots of big things have happened in this year, including this. If we can get the screen up, then you'll see the first thing that, well, one of the biggest things that happened this year was this. Who can tell me? Maybe one of the youngsters, one of the really little ones. Can anyone tell me who this is? Anyone even littler than Jakai? Even littler than, yes, Nevaeh, you're the littlest one with your hand up. It is King Charles, you're right. You might remember earlier this year that sadly our queen, Queen Elizabeth II, right? Yeah, second. She sadly died, and we got a new king, King Charles III. And with this coming of a new king, there were different reactions to this, different reactions to royalty. So does anyone know who this lady is? Anyone recognize this lady? No? This lady, you probably don't know what she looks like, but you probably saw it on the news when it happened. She was quite famous around when King Charles was made king. Can anyone remember why she might have become famous when King Charles became king? Do you remember this? So when King Charles came down from Scotland and he was outside Buckingham Palace, he came to see all of the loads of people who had come to see him. He went to greet the crowd, and this lady, she's called Jennifer Asiminos, and she not only gave King Charles a hug, she gave him a big kiss. And so she made the news headlines for giving King Charles a kiss. And afterwards, she said, "He's perfect. This king is perfect." So that was one response to the new King Charles. Here was another response. Does anyone know who this guy is? Anyone remember why he became famous around the time of King Charles? Yes, Tyler. Yeah, this is Patrick Thelwell. And he tried to throw eggs at King Charles. King Charles was again around and about visiting some people. And Patrick tried to throw some eggs. He didn't quite hit King Charles, but he threw the eggs at him. And do you know what he was shouting when he threw the eggs at him? "You're not my king! You're not my king," he said. Now, those two things are quite extreme reactions to the new king. But there's another reaction, which probably quite a lot of people had, is this. Okay, doesn't make much difference. Not that interested. Perhaps that was your reaction to the new king. It doesn't make much difference to my life. So maybe you watch the Queen's funeral on TV, but you weren't going to be that bothered to go into London to see the Queen's body when it was in, what's it called, Westminster Hall? Lying in state. You weren't going to go there. You weren't going to bother going to see King Charles like Jennifer Asimnios did, because it doesn't make much difference. It's not that interesting. It doesn't make much difference to my life. Three responses to a new king. Some love him and want to kiss him. Some hate him and want to throw eggs at him. And some are just not that bothered. And you know, those same three reactions, we see them in the Christmas story. Three different reactions to not King Charles, but to King Jesus. You can remember them as WWW, war, whatever, and worship. War, whatever, and worship. So the first response we see is war. Now, Jesus has just been born in Bethlehem. And the wise men, do you remember the wise men? They have traveled a really long, 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 long way to try and find this new king. And when they get close by, they go to the capital city, Jerusalem, to see exactly where this king has been born. But there's a problem, because there's already a king. Does anyone remember what the king is called? Yes, Jakai. King Herod, yes, King Herod was the king at the time. And you know, King Herod is not very happy to hear about a new king. If you can read, if you're old enough to read, can you read this with me? When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed. He wasn't happy to hear about the new king. He was disturbed. Christmas Day has lots of fun memories for me. In fact, my mum is here, my brother as well. And yesterday, we were thinking about what Christmas was like as children when we were growing up. And one of the things I remember about Christmas was that it was the one day a year that you were allowed to eat chocolate before breakfast. Has anyone had chocolate before breakfast today? Not too many. We're doing all right. Okay, that's good. Chloe has, I think her blood is pure sugar at this point. Since she arrived, she has just been eating sweets. That's all she's been doing. I remember eating chocolate and also being able to drink fizzy drinks on Christmas morning. That was a bit of a treat as well. So I've got a fizzy drink here. And you know, this is how King Herod felt. Not actually like this. He felt like this. He felt all shaken up. That's what that word disturbed means. He was all shaken up. He wasn't happy to see that there was a new king born. He was disturbed. Why? Well, because he was the king and he wanted to keep being the king. So here we go. I've got a throne here. Do you like my throne? It's a very expensive throne. Here we go. Put that here. And I've got a crown. And King Herod, he was on the throne. He was the king. He had the crown on his head. He thought, well, I'm the king and I want to keep being the king. And if anyone else tries to be the king, if anyone else tries to take my throne or take my crown, I'm going to be very cross about it. In fact, do you know King Herod? Do you know what he did? He ended up killing all the baby boys in the area just to make sure that he had got rid of the new king. How did he feel? Can you tell me how did he feel when he heard about this new king? Disturbed. He was disturbed. He wanted to be on the throne. And so he made war against Jesus. He wanted to fight for his throne. And you know, this kind of thing would continue throughout Jesus's life. Lots of people hated him. Lots of people wanted him dead because they didn't want Jesus to be in charge. And you know, eventually they did give Jesus a crown, but it wasn't a nice golden crown with jewels in it. Do you remember what crown they gave Jesus? Yes, JJ.
A crown that was made out of thorns.
A crown that was made out of thorns. You're absolutely right. And you know, they did give Jesus some nice royal clothes, but they weren't actually nice royal clothes. They were just making fun of Jesus. And instead of putting Jesus on a nice throne like this, do you know what they put Jesus on? They put him on a cross. Jesus is the king, but they killed him as if he wasn't. But here's the thing. If you make war against Jesus, you can't win. If you fight Jesus, you're going to lose. Herod tried to kill Jesus as a baby, but did he manage it? No, he failed. And when Jesus was killed on a cross, he really did die. He really was killed. But then what happened 3 days later? He rose again. And the Bible says that now, do you know where Jesus is? Jesus is seated on the biggest throne of all. He is seated in the highest place. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Every day, one day, everyone will bow the knee to King Jesus. Whether we like it or not, Jesus is the King. You see, actually, it's not us who's on this throne. It's someone else. Someone else belongs on this throne. So can I have someone else to help me? Can I have a volunteer? Maybe, yeah, come on then, Jakai. You were first hand up. But you have to imagine for a moment that Jakai is Jesus, okay? Jakai is not Jesus, but imagine that he is. There is someone else who belongs on this throne. It's not me. I don't have the crown on my head. Actually, Jesus belongs on the throne. The crown belongs on his head. Squish it down, that's it. Jesus is the King, whether we like it or not. And yet, do you know, we still fight him. We still make war against Jesus. All of us want to do things our own way instead of God's way. All of us like to decide what we can and what we can't do instead of listening to what Jesus has said. We want to be the ones in charge. And do you know what that's like? That's like taking his crown off his head and shoving Jakai off the throne and sitting on it ourselves and saying, no, you're not my king. I'm going to be in charge. You're not my king. I'm going to be in charge. You know, that's like that guy who wanted to throw eggs at King Charles. It's like we want Jesus dead. That's what the Bible calls sin. That's what it means to reject Jesus as our king. And it's a really sad and serious thing, because when you fight against Jesus, you're not going to win. Because Jesus, after he was rejected, rose again. Here we go. There you go. We didn't rehearse this at all beforehand. He's just a great actor. And Jesus does belong on this throne. Just stay there for a few more minutes. When you fight against Jesus, you're not going to win. So that's the first response. Just like that guy trying to throw eggs at the king. Ah, if I'd known it was Jakai, I probably should have brought eggs and just thrown them at him. Some of us like to fight Jesus for his throne. And we want to, in fact, that's what we've all done. We all want to make war against Jesus naturally. But here's the second response. Whatever. Can you say that and maybe do the hands as well? Whatever. Whatever. I'm not bothered. So Herod, he wants to know where this new king is going to be. And so he calls together all of the religious clever clogs. And he asks them, where's this new king going to be born? Again, if you can read, can you read this with me? When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So these guys, these were the experts. God had promised that a new king was going to come to save them. And these guys, the religious leaders, they had all of the answers. Again, read with me. This is a long one, but see if you can read it with me. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew all the answers. They knew that this new king was going to be born in a place called Bethlehem. Thank you, Uncle Russell. Sorry, Cairo. I think I scared him. They knew that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, but do you know what they didn't do? Do you know what they didn't do? They didn't go and find Jesus themselves. They knew that he was going to be born just down the road, and yet they didn't move a muscle. They just sat there. They said, yep, he's going to be born there. You can go and find him. They should have been really excited. They should have been the ones at the front of the queue, just like Jennifer Asiminos at the front of the queue wanting to kiss King Charles. That's what they should have been like, because they were expecting this king to come, and now he's here. But just like I didn't bother to make the short journey into London to see the new king, well, they didn't bother to make the short journey to Bethlehem to see if the Messiah really had been born. They were just like, whatever, not bothered. Now, maybe some of us are a bit like that as well. Maybe some of us are a bit like that with Jesus. Maybe we know all of the answers. We've heard the Christmas story loads of times. We could tell you all the right answers. But we're just a bit like, whatever. Doesn't really move us to respond. Maybe you've never come to Jesus in joy and worship like the wise men did. And you know, if that's you, it's really dangerous to know lots about Jesus but to do little with it. It's really sad to know all the answers but to be a bit like, eh, whatever. And we can't say, oh, it doesn't really affect me. With King Charles, we could say, well, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't make much difference to me who's the king or queen of this country. And that's true. It doesn't, day to day, it doesn't make much difference to us, does it? But with Jesus, it's different because Jesus really is the king. He really is on the throne. One day we will all bow. And so how we respond to Jesus really, really matters. So how should we respond? Well, here we get to the third response. Some people war against Jesus or they say whatever. But the third response is worship. These wise men, they're really excited. They've got the answers. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so they hurry off. They follow the star until it stops above where the child was. And then verse 10, again, read this with me. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. Who here was excited this morning when you woke up? Stick your hand up if you're excited when you woke up this morning. Very good. It's not just for the little ones. Some of us grown-ups were excited as well. What were you particularly excited about? Who got up? Okay, let's have a competition. Who got up before 6 o'clock? Okay, put your hand up. Okay, keep your hand up if you got up before 5 o'clock. Keep your... Really? Were you that excited, Georgina?
No, I moved the turkey.
Oh, yeah, the turkey to put in. Fair enough, yeah. Put your hand up if you got up before 4:30. 4 o'clock? Were you doing a night shift, Keziah? Yeah, that doesn't count. I think Chloe got up at what, 2 o'clock, was it? That's just mad. But that's why she's running on sugar today. What were you excited about this morning when you got up? What particularly were you excited about? Anyone want to say? Presents, yeah? Yes, Wesim. You're excited just that it was Christmas. Yeah, me too. Anyone else excited about anything else? Yes, Chloe? The stocking presents. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I like the Christmas stocking. There's lots of things to be excited about. Do you know when the wise men arrived at Bethlehem, they were really excited. In fact, what does the Bible say? They were overjoyed because they'd found the one that they were looking for. And what do they do? Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. What do they do? Well, instead of shoving him off the throne or sealing his crown, they don't do that. Instead, what do? They bow down in front of him. They bow down and they worship him and they bring him their really expensive gifts. They're saying, you're the one on the throne. You're the one who's got the crown on your head. You're the one who's in charge. You're the one who deserves everything that I have. It's quite a different response, isn't it? They weren't sad to do this. They weren't forced to do it. What does the Bible say? What were they? They were overjoyed to do this. They were happy. Just like that lady at the beginning, Jennifer Asiminos, kissed the king. And then she said, he's perfect. He's perfect. Now, his parents are here today. Would you say that Jakai is perfect? No offense. Sometimes you do say that about a baby, don't you? When a baby's born, you're like, oh, look at him, he's perfect. Something that we might say. It's not actually true. But with Jesus, it really is true, actually. He is a king who is perfect, someone who lived a perfect life. The Bible says that all of us human beings are actually born into sin, that we're born broken. But Jesus is different because he was born different. He is the Son of God. He was born perfect. He lived a perfect life. And so about Jesus, we really can say he's perfect. He's the perfect king. He's perfect. And so they worshipped him. And because of what Jesus was born to do, you know, we can respond in this same way. We're all really nearly done. So well done for listening. And this is a really important way, because this is how we should respond. Not by warring and fighting against Jesus, not just by whatever, but in worship. Because of what Jesus came to do, we can do this same thing. You see, all of us have actually done what Herod did. We have all pushed Jesus off the throne. We've taken his crown and put it on our own heads. And actually, that's really serious what we've done. The Bible says that we deserve to be enemies of the king forever in hell. But the perfect king can stand up again. The perfect king, do you know what he did? He died on the cross and he rose again from the dead to take the punishment that we deserve for shoving him off the throne, so that instead of going to hell, we can be forgiven. And Jesus calls us today, all of us, to bow down and to worship him, to say, you're in charge, you're the one who deserves everything. So those are the three responses we see in the Christmas story. And I wonder, as we finish, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you someone who fights against Jesus? The warning of the Bible is that if you war against Jesus, you won't win. Or if you say, whatever, today, then you might not get another chance tomorrow. But if you worship the King, you will be overjoyed with him forever, forever and ever and ever in eternity. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Jakai. In fact, stay there and then we'll pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you for all that he has done for us. Thank you that he really is the King who came to save us. Please would you help us not to fight against him, not to try and steal his crown for ourselves, but rather to bow down and worship. Help us not to be those who say, oh, whatever, not that interested, doesn't make much difference to me, but to realize that Jesus is the King, and to worship him as the King, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well done for listening, everyone. You did really well. Thank you so much, Jakai, for being the King. You can go and take a seat. And we're going to finish our service together with another song. This is one of my favourite Christmas songs. I think we sang it last week, but I like it. So we're going to sing it again. But more to the point, it picks up on what we just said. Just like the angels announced that Jesus is the King, which is something that we can be joyful about. Well, that's what this song is all about. So if you're able, please do stand and let's sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies.